has a first-hand knowledge of the addiction to love and pleasure. He's just an old hand. Now, as a king, he's been through it, he's been tempered by experience, and he watches you while you go through your bullshit. He knows what you're going through. Doesn't say anything. He just knows. And if you need a handy guide or a patient, you know, advisor, the King of Cups knows exactly what's going on and how to guide you through it. Great, great advisor. He's also intimate with the heart. He knows the landscape of the heart. He knows what it's like to be in love. He knows what it's like to be burned. He knows what it's like to burn others. He knows exactly how to take an inexperienced or a tired person straight to bed. He just has a very sure hand. He's very sophisticated. And he trades his sophistication for the comfort and delight that he gets from younger people. And he knows how to love, and he knows how to care. But even so, he stays kind of inwardly detached, which is why people oftentimes see the King of Cups as being slightly cold, because he knows enough not to get fooled by it, not to get taken in by it, not to get involved in it. And he's not particularly jealous either. He's strong enough not to worry about young rivals. And he's also an initiate, and he consults with initiates. He's one of those people that you can find who knows the best teachers, who knows the Kabbalists, who knows the tantric, you know, experts. He's the one who can take you there. And everybody likes the King of Cups. They all speak well of him. And he's generous, and he's moody, and he's graceful, and sometimes he's intimidating. He's subtle, and generally speaking, he's restrained. He doesn't make a lot of noise. He's quiet. He seems to be calm, but he's still pretty intense. And those are things that can be said about the King of Cups, although remember that what I'm saying is not by any means all there is to it. These are just some indications, some possibilities. So when you look at your own... By the way, when I'm saying these things to you, do you, generally speaking, recognize or sense intuitively the presence in these characters of what I'm saying? Or because some people would argue with them, some people would say, no, that's not true. How do you feel in general about what we've been talking about? Does anybody feel that what I've been saying so far is not true of these characters, that you would characterize them differently? I mean, there are other things you could say. It's not like what I've said is exhaustive, but would you disagree with any of these things? No?
No.
Okay, good. So these are certain things that you should see. These are useful attributions when you're doing a reading. In doing the array that we've got in front of us, they are too specific for the array, actually. This is more useful when you're working with ordinary spreads and the court cards come up. When they represent people, which they often do, you know, actual individuals in your life, they represent those qualities which show in that person at the time that the reading is appropriate for. I mean, nobody is only one court card. Everybody's got all of the court cards in them, working all the time in one way or another. But at any given moment, a person, male or female, may act like a King of Cups, may look like a Page of Cups, may speak like a Queen. And so they would remind you of the card. And as long as you know what the qualities of the card are, you could say, oh, that person is being a Queen of Cups at this point, or that's who we're talking about, somebody who does those things. So it's useful from that point of view.
So while this spread can be done or should be done with the whole court of cards?
Yeah, actually, what happens is that this particular spread that we have here, which is called a court card array, because it's literally an array made with court cards, if you were going to do, once you understand how to do this with this court, of course you can do the same thing with all four courts. You can do it with each court. And to understand the Court of Cups is to understand the workings of your own heart. To understand the Court of Swords is to understand the working of your own mind, etc. So what happens is when you work with all four courts, when you do the array in all four courts, you'll find that you don't choose the cards the same way in each court. They're quite different usually. And then you get a glimpse, you get a picture. It's like painting a portrait in very rich colors of the different aspects of yourself, mind and heart and body and spirit, and how they interact. And so what we're going to be working with here tonight is the Court of Cups, which is the court of the heart, of water, the flowing of things, the container for energy, and all the different things that can be associated with the cup. And we talked about the cup at the very beginning of this series, and you may or you may not remember that we spent 2 solid hours talking about nothing but the symbol of the cup. If you were to go back, if you have a record, if either you have the tape or if you have good notes, and you go back and you look at all the things that we said about the cup, and then you look at this court that you just did, this array that you just did, and know that that's the world that we're working in, the world of those considerations. And then when you arrange the court cards in that world, you're showing how you relate to all the qualities of the cup. And that's what we'll talk about next. So before I go any further, does anybody have any comments or questions about some of this stuff?
Two things I'm sort of trying to relate the King of Cups to the Queen of Wands.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're both fire and water.
They're both fire and water. Now, the difference is this. If you want to know, let's say, for example, the King of Cups is a combination of fire and water. The King of Cups is a combination of air and water, right?
Oh, okay. Why did I have the King of Fire?
King is air. Oops, somebody lost somebody. Hopefully they'll come back. Maybe it was a cat stepping on their phone, because that happened last week, which is very funny. But anyway, so if you have a King of Cups, the King of Cups is the King, which is air. That's the form here. That's the shape. And we have Cups, which is the energy of the thing. The suit is always the energy. So the energy of water enters a form which is made of air. And it becomes, how would you describe it? It becomes bubbly. Effervescent. Would that be what happened when water enters air? No, it's when air enters water that it becomes bubbly and effervescent. When water enters air, it becomes sort of rainy.
Okay, so then the Queen of Cups.
The Queen of Cups is pure water, just a solid.
The Queen of Swords. Swords.
So what you have there is swords is air. That's the energy that's entering. The queen is the form, which is water. So when air enters water, what you have is a kind of effervescence. You have a sort of bubbly quality, which normally speaking you don't associate with the Queen of Swords. It's thought to be a pretty sober character. But the Queen of Swords has an effervescence to her. She has a lightness that you wouldn't expect.
Okay, but I'm thinking the Queen of Wands would be...
Water and fire.
Water and fire, and the Knight of...
The Knight of Cups is also water and fire,
water,
but a different mix.
But in one, the fire might be doused, and the other...
Well, not so much doused. They're never doused. It's never like that. All of the elements are equal. None of the elements ever destroys or nullifies the other. They only modify each other in different ways. So if you have the Knight of Cups, what you have is water entering fire. And that is usually seen as... How would I describe it? That is usually seen as a pot of water on a boiling flame. The fire heats the water. The shape modifies the force. So the shape in this case is fiery. That's the modifying influence. The force that's being modified is the water. So what happens is that water is heating fire. Fire is heating water. This always gets confusing. Sorry, I always get tangled up in my own tongue here. So the Knight of Cups is fire heating water. Produces a boiling effect, which is why the Knight brings things to a boil. The Knight brings passions to a boil. That's why he's such a great lover. Now, the Queen of Wands, on the other hand, is fire, which is the wands entering the shape or the form of water. And what happens there is you have something that's very, very humid. You have a jungle-like, exotic, deep humidity.
What about the Queen of Pentacles?
The Queen of Pentacles is the shape is water and the form is earth. The shape is water and the element, the energy is earth. So you have earth entering water. And there what you get is actually, I'm not even sure how to describe that one. I'm really not 100%. I've thought about these things a lot, but I'm always a little bit nervous about how to describe that. How would you describe something where water was the modifying influence and earth was the energy? Well, if water is modifying earth, what happens is they're both cold. Both water and earth are cold, but water makes the earth more moist. So it tends to moisten it. It tends to make moist earth, which I guess would be something that would make Earth very, what would be the word,
fertile.
Fertile, exactly. So the Queen of Pentacles would produce a great deal of fertility. Would make a very fertile, very productive Earth. But if you took the page of Cups, which is the other way around, which is where the form is Earth, the modifying form is Earth, and the energy is water, the page of Cups, what you've got there is a drying out of the water. You've got Earth, which makes, they're both still cold, but Earth dries the water out. It makes it more solid. And my feeling about the page of Cups is always clay. Something that you can mold, because it's wet, damp Earth, that it's a solidifying of water, and it makes the flowing. You know, all shapes are contained in water. And what happens is that with clay, you can make just about any shape. It's a way of making shape, making the solid Earth malleable. So the page of Cups is very malleable and can make any shape, and goes along with the idea of the creation of fantasies. What we as adults call fantasies, the page of Cups sees as realities. All of the gnomes, elves, leprechauns and stuff become real for the page of Cups. They're not airy and imaginary. They're real for him. The page of Cups takes those airy forms, I mean those watery forms, and makes them real, makes them solid for himself. It's pretty hard to see all this. It's pretty kind of confusing, I think.
I think I finally got it.
Well, I don't even have it. I mean, this stuff gets so confusing that your tongue literally trips over it. Every time I try to explain this to people, Ruth Ann always gets annoyed with me when I try to explain this to people, because it's so damn hard to grasp. You have to kind of sit down with a piece of paper and a pen, and the basic ideas are force and form, knowing that the suit is force and the rank is form, and then figure out for yourself what the attributes are when the elements get together.
And now you're really going to kill me. Cardinal fixed.
Oh, you want to do it? You want to do the astrological stuff too?
The king is fixed, right?
Okay, so guys, how many of you want to do astrology? Let me give you the astrological things for the ranks, because each, again, the ranks have an astrology and the suits have an astrology. You know that the four suits are connected with the elements, so you know that Cups are all the water signs. And you know that there are three water signs, right? You know that there is that Pisces is a water sign, Cancer is a water sign, and Scorpio is a water sign.
Pisces, Scorpio, and what?
And Cancer.
Okay.
Those are three water signs. And you know that, let's say, the element of Earth has three signs. The element of Earth has Capricorn, and Taurus, and Virgo. And the element of Air has Libra, and Aquarius, and Gemini. And the element of Fire has Leo, and Sagittarius, and Aries. Now, all of the four signs are broken up into three parts.
I'm sorry, it's Sag, Aries, and what?
Sagittarius is fire.
Leo.
And Leo is fire. And Aries is fire. Three fire signs. So these are called, there are three different kinds of fire, three different kinds of water, three different kinds of earth, and three different kinds of air. These different kinds are called modalities, different modes. And the three modalities are, There is the cardinal sign in a particular element. There is the fixed sign, and there is a mutable sign. The cardinal signs bring change and freshness and newness and point of direction. The fixed signs are stubborn, solid. They anchor things. They make things stay where they are. They are unchanging. And the mutable signs are adaptable. They shift and slide and do whatever is necessary to survive given the circumstances. So now you take a look at the different signs, and I'll tell you what's going on. All of the queens are cardinal signs. So the Queen of Cups is cardinal water, the Queen of Pentacles is cardinal earth, etc. All the kings are fixed signs. So the king is fixed earth. Fixed earth, by the way, is Taurus. fixed water, which is
Scorpio.
Which is Scorpio. Fixed air is Aquarius, and fixed fire is Leo. So, just to know that, I mean, I don't know how many of you know anything about astrology at all, but and these things may be nothing that you can do anything with. For some of you, it will be useful and interesting. So all the kings are fixed signs, and all the knights are mutable signs. For example, a knight of cups would be mutable water. Mutable water is Pisces. You know that it's water because it's cups, and you know that it's mutable because it's a knight. So if you want to know the specific sign of the zodiac that is connected with a particular court card, all you have to do is look at the rank and suit, and it will tell you. Now, the pages are connected with the seasons. Each page is connected with three signs, not one.
I couldn't write down what cardinal is.
A cardinal is everything that is fresh and new and is in the process of, not process, of everything that changes and keeps things going. And the cardinal signs point a direction. So you remember that cups is west. So the queens point to the direction that they're in. Cups is west, swords is east, etc. So the queen of swords is the one who points the direction of swords. The queen of cups is the one who points the direction of water. They are the ones who are the cardinal points of the compass. East, west, north, and south. The queens are that. And in addition, they bring change. Real change. Deep change. So, for example, the queen of cups, which is a cardinal water, is Cancer. And Cancer is usually springtime. It's in the spring. It's one of the signs in the middle of spring. So the Queen of Cups is associated with the springtime because of the astrological sign of Cancer. So you can do a certain amount of timing in a reading by knowing the astrological attributions of the court cards. The Knight of Cups, as I mentioned before, knights are mutable, and cups are water, so it's mutable water. The Knight of Cups is associated with Pisces.
This is also complicated. I mean, it sounds very complex.
It is.
How does that translate to the fact that when we do a reading, our subconscious supposedly is choosing all of this in a split second to tell a story?
Well, what happens there is that your work, the way in which you use the cards, can be on many levels also. You can use the cards in the level of doing an intuitive reading about events happening in a person's life. That you can do. And when you do that, you're working with the cards in a certain way. You work with them quickly and intuitively. And sometimes what you're working with really doesn't even have anything at all to do with the meaning of the cards. They can be, you could pick a queen of cups, for example, and the thing that's really important to you is the mermaid. The mermaid jumps out at you for some reason or other and tells you some interesting piece of psychic information. Or it may be that in the King of Cups, there's a ship in the background. It may be that the thing that gets your attention in the King of Cups has nothing to do with the meaning of the King of Cups, but it may tell you that you're going to take a trip on a boat. Or something along those lines. So sometimes the level on which you're working is intuitive and quick, and you don't have to worry about all this stuff. But if you're working, let's say, psychologically, let's say you want to know what a person is made of. That's the array stuff. Then you have to know a lot of these systems.
Okay, but still, it's me, the human being, choosing that card, which translates into this mountain of information, being presented to me in front of my eyes.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. When you say choosing the card, you're talking about choosing it at random in a reading? Or choosing
exactly,
it now
exactly,
in an array.
Exactly, but there's, but there's a whole message.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Which if we go into it rationally, it's very complex. So how did I get to choose that card?
Well, one of the interesting things about tarot that people often don't understand, one of the things that makes it possible for any reading to work, why it is that readings work, why random selections of cards always seem to have something to do with what you're talking about, is because all of the cards in tarot are part of you. They're all working in you all the time. And they're also all working in the world all the time. Tarot is a picture of the goings and comings of everything that exists. So no matter what cards you choose, they're going to be describing something that's going on in your life. You cannot choose a spread that doesn't have a bearing on what's going on. So when you pick, it doesn't make any difference what you pick. I don't care what question you ask. Excuse me. Whatever card you pick to answer it will have an answer for you. It's just that when you pick a card, you're looking at the question from the particular perspective of that particular card that you drew to answer it. So
what
if you
about when, what about when you're shuffling the deck and the card falls?
If a card falls out and you use that as a way of choosing a card, then it works perfectly fine. It seems to be that it's significant because it fell out while you were looking for a card. It kind of popped out at you. So that's called synchronicity, an accident that has a significance. So a card accidentally pops out of the deck, but it's significant because it popped out at that time when you were asking that question. Then it becomes a significant coincidence, and that's called synchronicity, and it works really well. And you can read it. Whatever way you have of choosing a card, the card will answer the question that you ask. So you really can't go wrong. From that point of view, it's a win-win situation all the time. It's not really a mystery at all. As long as you understand that all the cards are always in you, working all the time. So the thing is that when you do something on purpose, like taking a small group of cards and making an array out of them, then you're asking for specific kinds of information. And you need to work with the cards in the level that you've chosen to work with them on. So when we're looking at the array, and the array is supposed to tell you something about yourself, then you need to know a little bit of something about the way the array is put together and what the cards mean, and you can do a lot with it. And so let's do that at this point. Now I'm giving you so much stuff here. I'm burying you in information, and it's not even as usual. It's like the tip of the iceberg. I don't know if you're aware of that, this stuff is really just kind of the tip. It's about maybe 5% of the total.
And so when do we get to the iceberg?
you're doing it now. You're
the Titanic.
How much? If I took a let's say for example that you wanted a taste of a salami. So I would cut off a small piece and give you a bite so you could have a taste. How would you like it if I took a 2 foot long, 6 inch thick salami and try to ram it down your throat? It wouldn't taste like much. It would be very unpleasant. So as it is, I may be stuffing more into you than you feel comfortable with, and I'm doing it because it's just coming out of my mouth at this point. I'm just saying whatever comes to me to tell you. And so far, this is what's come up, and I don't know whether you'll be able to make anything of it or not. One nice thing that will happen as a result of all this is that you might develop a certain respect for what looks like a simple picture. That's the thing that people don't understand about tarot when they ask you, well, what does this card mean? Now, how are you supposed to answer that? I mean, what does this card mean? Oh, it means this. And when somebody says, what do cups mean? Oh, cups are about emotions. That's it? Yeah, for most people, that's all it is. And they don't even know why cups are about emotions. They don't know where that comes from or what it's about. So what we're doing here is going under the surface for you a little bit so that you can get a respect for the deck and its possibilities, and at least you will have heard references to things, and so if you ever come across them again, you'll say, oh yes, I remember, I heard about that. A little bit at a time, with a lot of work and association, when you've been with it for a long time, it begins to make sense by itself. It becomes organic. You don't have to memorize it. You don't have to figure it out. It's not like mathematics where you have to learn formulas. After a while, you just kind of get the hang of it. So,
well,
that, yeah.
On that note, on that note about getting the hang of it, one of the things that I'd like to request this evening that would be really useful for me, being a reader, is if you have, when you give us our little secrets, I love those little secrets. So I'm really mindful of how hard you're working tonight. But what's really important for me as a reader, because of being under your tutelage now, most of the time, no matter what cards the current picks, I have no fear. I just feel so confident that I still have that block with the court cards. And one of the challenges for me is when to know if it's another person or the personality of the reading, of the quarant.
So right.
If there's any little gifts or tips, feel free.
Okay. Well, it's really, it's but the funny thing about that is that it's so extraordinarily simple that that it's like, how could you have missed this? Let's say, for example, we have a word like bear. B-E-A-R, right? And I say to you, bear. What does that mean? How do I use that word? How do I know when it's, how do I know when it is an animal in the forest, or when it means naked, or when it means to carry? How do I know when to use it? Well, hey, I shot a bear last week when I went hunting. Do you know how to use it then? Do you know what it means under those? Do you know what bear means then?
Yeah.
If I said to you, I have so many troubles I can hardly bear them, you would know what bear meant then? Would you have any trouble figuring out what to do with it, that word?
No,
same sound. If I said, you need to bear your soul. Any trouble understanding that?
No, if those cards came up, that would be really literal.
Right, exactly. So what happens is the same thing here. If you're talking about a social situation and the people in a person's life and the Queen of Cups comes up, well, probably you're talking about a person with qualities like the Queen of Cups or who is showing those qualities. If you're talking about a person's internal state, what they're going through, how they're feeling, and a Queen of Cups comes up, the chances are you're talking about a quality that the person is having to face in themselves. If you're using the Queen of Cups, if you're let's say you're doing a reading about your boss. Let's say you're talking about your job and how you relate to your boss or your coworkers, and a Queen of Swords comes up. You have any problem figuring out whether it's a psychological quality of the person themselves or whether it's some nasty person in the office that they're talking about? If the person has been telling you that they've been having a lot of trouble with this woman supervisor that they've been dealing with, and the Queen of Swords comes up, you don't really have an awful lot of. You're not talking about the person's personality. You're talking about this person that your querent has to deal with. It's sort of context. It's so simple that it's pathetic. It's not hard at all. Why would it be difficult for you to figure that out? Are there any circumstances where the difference between talking about the querent and talking about, some person in the querent's life is really all that hard? If, for example, let's say you have a woman querent who is talking about a soulmate, right? And let's say you do a three card reading. And a queen and a page come up. By the way, our cat just came and sat down right on my notes. And the cat is huge. The cat is like a 22-pound cat. And he just came over, plopped down in the front. Luckily, I don't need the notes. Thanks. Look, there are times that it's nice to be able to,
teaching and feed me.
Right. So anyway, so if a queen and a page came up, and you know that the queens and pages are generally feminine, but the person is talking about their soulmate. Well, this person isn't, the queen and the page are not referring to this woman's soulmate, because unless the woman is gay, the soulmate isn't going to be a queen or a page. So this is probably talking about the person's own inner qualities that might have a bearing on her search. But let's say that same exact querent, did a three-card spread and there was a knight of wands that came up in the middle. Would you think that was a quality of a person, or would you think that was a man that would be entering her life who was gorgeous and handsome and full of energy and was going to drive up in a red Ferrari and carry her away?
I'd pick the latter.
Right, exactly. It's not that difficult. The context would tell you where it was. And if it turned out that sometimes, occasionally, it might not be altogether clear whether it was the person or the querent or somebody they're talking about, hey, take your chances.
Can I say something on this? Actually, I've done a lot of readings where it'll be both, and I'll just say, well, I'm seeing this card on a couple of different levels. As far as this other person is concerned, we're talking about blah 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 blah, you know. But I'm also seeing it representing an aspect of yourself in which, and then, you know, fill in the blank there. So if you're really getting mixed messages, you know, as Walt is fond of saying, when in doubt, take both. And you can do it that way. You know, a card can mean more than one thing at a time.
Have you run across times when you really didn't know the answer to that question? Marcy?
Okay. Well, I have up until this moment. I mean, the good news, to digress here and get myself out of this pickle, is that I knew that it could be embarrassing asking this question, but you guys allow me to just be myself so I can feel free.
Sure.
Oh, sure. Well, no, it's nothing to be embarrassed about, because I would say 90% of all the people that we come across ask this exact same question. So it's just that I think that part of the problem is that there's this myth that's been circulated about how hard court cards are. And so a lot of times it's just an automatic response. Oh, no, it's a court card. You know, therefore, you know, and that happens to a lot of people because they've been taught that it's confusing before really having a chance to, you know.
Yeah, to buy into that.
Yeah. So, you know, certainly nothing to be embarrassed about.
So on the one hand, we're telling you that it's extremely easy, and on the other hand, we're filling your head with this unbearable medley of information which you can't make heads or tails out of. So both, and the thing is that both are true simultaneously. They're very complicated and subtle. That is, you can use them that way if you wish to and you have any reason to. And they can also be extremely simple and straightforward. Oh, King of Swords, that means your father. You know, I mean, if there's a person who's having trouble with their father and the King of Swords comes up, I mean, it's not really all that hard.
Hysterical, because anytime I have a reading, the King of Wands comes up, and that's my partner's card, and it's like, God, do I wear this on my sleeve?
Uh-huh, well, probably you do. Probably you do.
Tell me about it. I know I'm a cheap date, but, but you know, that being aside, this was like so worth rushing home, because this really, I'm so excited now. I can't wait now to... reading. Anybody
want
to read it?
Well, good. Let me give you, we have a little bit of time left, not much, not as much as I would have liked to go over the array. I'm going to give it to you very quickly. And in fact, what I'm going to tell you will probably now be more, will give you more of something to think about and ponder than any ability that I have right now to explain any of it, because we don't have an awful lot of time.
Did
what?
Marcy get to do the array?
Oh, Marcy.
Yeah, Marcy, just real quick, organize the four court cards in your order preference. Put the one you like best on the left, and then the one that you like least on the right.
In order, arrange them in order, just like that. You can do that pretty quickly.
I think so.
Yeah.
Come back.
Most people have no trouble with that. Okay, so what I'm going to tell you is the meaning of the positions. You already know something about the meanings of the cards in different levels, and you can fill in the blanks later, but I'm going to tell you about the meanings of the positions, and you'll get a sense of what you did. The four positions are arranged according to the order in which the worlds are said to be created. The first position, the thing that you like the most, is associated with that, with the element of fire, with the world of emanation. It's the thing where you come out into the world with your strength and your talent. The thing that comes second, the second position, is not quite as clear, not quite as open, not quite as visible as what's first, but it's still liked, it's still positive, and oftentimes forms an alternative way of being, an alternative, another side of yourself that's still strong, but doesn't come out as often. Sometimes, what's first and second switches places. It's sometimes you're one way, sometimes you're the other way. And what's second comes into existence in the position of cups. Now, you know that the cup is connected with the heart. You know that the cup is about the shape of things and the meaning of things. And another word for the heart is the center, the core, the essence. What is in second place can be called the heart. Whatever's in second place is what you trust, what you believe, what you're truly comfortable with. It's the shape of your world. Take a look, since we're talking about the suit of cups, what card is in the second position That's the kind of emotional state, the kind of emotional existence, the kind of emotional being that you would feel comfortable with and that you would trust. Whatever the qualities in those cards are that you have in second place, you know that.
So these are the qualities that we would look in a man, for example.
Yeah, exactly. If you found a man who had whatever's in second place for you, if it was also in second place or in first place for him, that your chances, the chances are that you would trust that person very quickly and easily. Exactly. Now let's take a look at the third position. The third position comes as the suit of swords, as air, as the mind, the intellect, and all sorts of forms of struggle, all the ways in which things are limited, cut, chopped, and rejoined together. The suit of swords and the third position is the place of struggle, the place of
challenge.
It's a hot spot, a place where you are not altogether weak, but you're not altogether comfortable. A place where you invest a good deal of your energy to shore up what is ordinarily considered to be something weak in yourself, but that you're still struggling to make better. So whatever's in third place is struggle and challenge. And if what is in third place for somebody else is in second place for you, the chances are you'll feel uncomfortable with each other because what you trust, the other person doesn't trust. What you're comfortable with, the other person is uncomfortable with and is struggling with. So if second and third positions, especially in the suit of cups where the heart is connected, are reversed between you and somebody else, the chances are you will be uncomfortable with each other.
Ruthann, you briefly mentioned that most of us have the Knight of Cups on the third position.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And the Knight of Cups, you remember, is pure. The Knight of Cups is the knights are the most energetic. The knights are the ones that quest and look and search for what lies outside themselves. The knights are the ones who have goals.
We're struggling with what, I'm sorry?
Well, in the case of the Knight of Cups, the Knight of Cups is always looking for the truth. The Knight of Cups is always looking for the purest love, the Holy Grail. The Knight of Cups is very romantic. And it may be if the Knight, and the Knight of Cups has the most energy. The knights always have the most energy in the suit because the knights are associated with wands and fire. So the knights have the most of the energy of the heart. When the Knight of Cups is in third position, it's very hard for the heart to open up and get going. It's hard for the heart to be spontaneous because the Knight is purely explosive fire. The Knight of Cups is the most spontaneous in that way, the most energetic, and therefore the Knight in the third position, the Knight of Cups in the third position, in my way of thinking, would be kind of a lazy heart, a heart that doesn't have the ability to march forward with any great strength or optimism. It would be hard for anybody to be truly romantic with a Knight of Cups in third, I would think.
Well, you have that.
I do. And most of the time, now, the thing is, well, there's a lot of things going on here, guys. The Knight of Cups, the Knight, for me, is there. And most of the time, most people have seen me through most of my life as being, a person for whom emotions are hard to display. And, you know, they see me as being in my head. This isn't as true now as it used to be. But what happens for me is that in my elemental array, where I organize the four suits, the four aces, instead of just the suit of cups, where I organize the four aces, cups is in second place. Cups is in the position of the heart. Cups is in the position of trust and belief and openness. So there's a certain amount of conflict in me. What we're talking about here is one part of a very large and complicated puzzle. All I'm doing is giving you the general positions, the general meaning of the positions, and you'll have to fill in the meanings for yourself, maybe over a period of time. Now, this is something that Peggy had wanted. She had wanted us to go into the personality array business, and that covers a lot of ground. It's a whole course. It's at least a 5, maybe a 7-week course.
You want to mention our new discovery about the third position?
Yeah. Now, the other day, Ruthann and I were at lunch, and we had the greatest time when Ruthann discovered this fabulous little thing. Whatever is in third position, because it is a position of challenge and difficulty and vulnerability and susceptibility, has the tendency, we discovered, to be the way, the form, in which you get angry, in which you fight. It's the kind of fighting that you do. So emotionally, for those of you who have the Knight of Cups in the third position, the chances are that in emotional fights, you tend to flare, be very quick, explosive, and it's over with fairly quickly. That was true for me. It's also true for Ruth Ann. So then when she it isn't. What do you have in third?
I have king in third.
Oh, that's right. So now the king in third position, for those of you who have, I don't know if anybody has the king in third.
Well, I don't know if Marcy has, but nobody else does.
Well, the king in third, the king is a bully. So what happens is that, you know, so when Ruth Ann and I get into an emotional, you know, battle, I mean, she's the tough one. She's the one, and I'm the challenger, so to speak. And I get very hot and flustered and angry very quickly. And she will carry the argument to its. She won't let it go until it's done, and she'll beat me over the head with it until pretty much I have to back off. That's the usual rule of it.
Well,
she gets her way in those things.
There was the other part of it where the king has the longer view.
That's true.
So, you know, it's a little bit more dispassionate. It's not quite as all fired up. So
right,
I can see the big picture.
Right, and I get involved in the details.
What?
Is that part of your Aryan nature?
Yeah, well, that's true. So what happens is if you look at what's in third position, you can usually tell the style, your style of fighting or your style of getting angry.
So since most of you have the knight in third position, if we all got into a fight, it would be pretty...
Yeah, if we got into an emotional argument or an emotional fight, it would be pretty tough. And one of the things about the knight, knights are very involved with loyalty. Loyalty and the service to a cause is a big deal. So one of the issues for the knight is, you know, is loyalty. And I imagine that a betrayal would cause a great deal of heat for people who have knights in the third position. And it's really funny because I've not been jealous in my life for the most part. And that quality, I mean, I don't know how it happens that I've got the Knight of Cups in third position and it's still and the quality of jealousy isn't there. I would have thought that would be there. But anyway, how do you guys feel about that, you who have knights in the third position?
I'm just the opposite. I tend to...
I can't hear you.
Oh, this is Peg, and I tend to be pretty much the opposite. It takes a lot for me to flare up, but when I do, it's hard for me to let it go.
When you blow up, is it hot and fierce, or is it slow burn?
It builds up. It's slow burning, but it can get to quite an inferno.
But now here's an interesting thing. Is it easy for somebody to reach you emotionally? Because that's the thing.
Right.
If you did the elemental array and you found the elemental array in third position or in last, especially if you found cups in last position, which it might be for you, I don't know. From what we've talked about, it's possible. Then it may be that cups, the whole universe of cups, is not easily accessible to you.
Okay.
In which case, even if you were reached that way, it would be interesting to see how it all put together. There's a lot of things going on at the same time, but anyway, that's something. How about the rest of you? There's a bunch of other people here.
I have the page, so does that mean that I fight like a kid?
The page in the third position would usually indicate tantrums. You know, like very a very explosive but very, you know, spontaneous, quick, and I don't know how you would describe it other than the tantrum. Well, everybody knows what a tantrum is. And emotionally, one would expect a tantrum from you.
Okay.
If you were going to fight. Now, I don't know if that's true. That's what I would think, and I would ask about it. Each one of these things is modified by several other things, so it's not always that simple. But that's what I would expect. That's the first thing I would look for. If I had an array for you, if I had all four courts out there, and I saw the Knight of Cups or the Page of Cups in third position for you, especially if the suit of cups was fairly high for you and easily available to you, I would expect that you would have emotional blow-ups fairly frequently. That they would come quickly and pass quickly, and they would be relatively inexplicable, and any grown up would be pained. So how do you feel about that?
I feel that it definitely has some merit. Yes, definitely. Okay, I'm ready. I have to ponder it because I do have that little kid within me, which is really good in the aging process.
There's lots of good things to be said. I mean, every form of getting angry has its own, you know, negative. And getting angry is usually not seen as a good thing. Although, if nowadays in modern times, I think people have said it's great to be angry. just as long as you don't throw anything at somebody.
Right. Don't forget, this is just the cups part of anger. So
right.
This is just like, you know, like if you're having fights about emotional issues or the emotional aspect of how you fight, but then you've got the other three
you've
suits
got,
as
yeah,
well.
You've got the third position in swords and the third position in wands. There's all of
right.
the four are different ways of getting angry on different levels about different issues, and they tend to blend. Very often, what comes up in a person's real life affects them on two or three or four levels at the same time, so the response that you might have could be very complex. So all I'm doing is pointing out this in isolation. So you may or may not find virtue in this. It was something that we found interesting, and you may find it interesting as well.
I'd love to know how you both came up with this wonderful idea. You know, that
was that's a whole story in itself. Let me give you, before we finish, let me give you the fourth position. Now, the fourth position is something that, the fourth position is Earth. It's pentacles. It's what comes into existence last and is the most solid, the most reliable, and the least charged. Earth has the least amount of energy in it of all the four suits. It's the ground on which you stand. Because it has the least energy, it literally is that place where you invest the least energy, the least effort. It's already real for you. It requires no effort on your part at all to believe it, to accept it, and to work on it. So sometimes what is in last position is last because you're weak there. You can't do anything about it. There's something there that you just can't, for the life of you, deal with, so you resign to it. Or it could very well be that it's something that is so competent for you, so strong, so natural, that it goes without saying. And again, you don't have to invest any effort in it. I'll give you an example of the two ways. What have you got in last place? Somebody pick a last
queen of
place.
Cups.
Huh?
Queen of Cups.
Queen of Cups, okay. So in the case of the Queen, there is a combination of all the things we talked about in the case of the Queen, whatever the Queen is. Now the Queen can be, of the things that a Queen can be, the Queen can be beautiful, the Queen can be psychic and intuitive, the Queen can be tactful, the Queen can also be jealous, the Queen can be nasty in certain ways, the Queen can be very indirect and passive aggressive kind of thing. Queens can have, well, everything has both a negative and a positive quality. The qualities of the Queen, especially the Queen of Cups, to be extremely beautiful and attractive, to be seductive, to be unifying and joining and extremely loving and uniting, those qualities may either be things that are extremely natural to you, so easy for you that you don't even have to think about them, or so difficult for you that you've given up on them. Those are the two most likely things. And also, it's in the place, whatever's in last place, is where things happen to you, where you're passive, you're an object, not a subject. Whatever's in last place is the place where other people have their effect on you. So when the Queen of Cups is in last, do you recognize any of those qualities that I described as being like that? Do you recognize beauty and seduction as being easy for you or difficult? So easy for you that it's effortless, or so difficult for you that you've given up on it? Are either of those things true?
I think seduction is difficult for me because it seems to be an artifice. I prefer reality.
Mm-hmm. Do you put any effort into it? Is it something that you try for, that quality that women are supposed to have of being able to lure and attract and entice and seduce? Is that something that is part of your active life, or just something that you put away and don't deal with?
I tend not to deal with it.
Yeah. That's generally where it is. It's also the place where you might very well... Oh, here's another question. The Queen is last. If you look at the Queen, do you like the Queen or do you dislike the Queen? Do you like it just but like it least, or do you actively dislike it?
I have a little problem with that totally garish item she's holding, and the frown on her face. So
uh-huh.
I think I tend to dislike her.
Okay. So now that's different. If the Queen is last but still liked, the qualities of the Queen are usually attractive when they're found in other people.
Oh,
because
no,
you don't
I
have
like
it yourself, but you
people.
Like it when you see it in somebody else. But when a Queen, whatever is last, is disliked, then it's charged with a negative energy. And the tendency is to regard it as inimical to yourself, something you don't like when you meet in other people, and will just assume that the world not even contain. It's something that you project outwards as something unpleasant. It's a part of yourself that is no longer something that you acknowledge. And you, so you push it outward as a kind of an enemy. And you don't like it when you see it. So do those qualities of the Queen of Cups appear to you like that? When you find a woman or even a man doing those things, using those qualities, are they things that you intuitively dislike, that you stay away from?
Yeah, I think a lot of it was colored by my mother, who was very seductive and loved to feel that men were fools.
Right. That's
so
another, exactly. So that's another quality, by the way. Queens usually refer to the mother as kings usually refer to the father. So when a queen specifically, or a king specifically, is disliked, not just like least, but disliked, the chances are fair that you have a difficulty with that parent in that area.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense.
Right. So those are things to consider when you're looking at your array. We haven't had a chance to really go into it. It's a whole technique by itself and requires its own class.
I know we have very little time. Can you talk just a little bit about the page being last?
When the page is last, one of the qualities about the page is that the page is spontaneous. The page is a student. The page doesn't really like, what would you call it? Doesn't like restraint. The page doesn't like to be told what to do. The page doesn't like rules. The page doesn't worry much. The page likes to enjoy herself. The page likes to indulge herself. The page knows, the Page of Cups especially, knows a fraud when she sees one. The Page of Cups is very emotionally sensitive and knows nuances. Page of Cups can usually assess the emotional state of a person that's standing in front of her very easily. When the Page of Cups is last, again, those qualities could either be something that is so natural to you, so inborn, inbred, and easy for you that you don't have to invest any energy in it at all. It's just there, all the time, as a natural ground on which you stand. Either that, or it could be something that you can't do. You're simply not emotionally spontaneous. You're simply not able to let yourself go into worlds of fantasy. You simply can't do that. You're just not fluid and easy like that. Which of those two is true for you? Or is either one true for you? That's what I would expect. Having spoken to you, this is Miosotis, right?
Mm-hmm.
So having spoken to you, what I would assume is that that your ability to live in a steady, present emotional state, to be aware of other people's feelings, to have belief in magical what other people would think of as imaginary beings and worlds like that, those things would come quickly and easily for you, and you wouldn't really have to give it much thought. That would be what I would guess, that it would be. The reason it's last is because it's easy.
That's true.
Yeah, because it could be the other way, but it's not. Now, the thing is that even when it's last in that way, even when it's so comfortable for you that it's last, when you see it in somebody else, you immediately like it. If you find somebody else that shares that, who has that as a strength, where you have it as simply beyond a strength, something so natural that it isn't even, it's actually hidden, people might not see that in you. One of the things that happens when it's last like that is that people might not even be aware of that in you because you don't emphasize it, you don't push it out there. People who have Page of Cups first would make a big show of it. That's their strength, that's where they're great, that's where they feel comfortable, and that's where they enjoy themselves, and that's what they project. You don't actually project that. You'd have to know you to know that. So it becomes very, very private. But you might like it when you found it in somebody else. I don't know if that's true. Do you enjoy those qualities in other people when you find them?
Yeah, definitely.
So
it's so hard to find people like that.
It is.
Yeah.
The page of Cups first is not all that frequent, except that here we have Scheherazade who's got that, and Kelly who's got that, and Peggy who's got that. All three of them have the Page of Cups first, so the chances are that you would admire them and like them and feel comfortable with them, just because they have those qualities. Now, Scheherazade, you're still there, right?
Mm-hmm.
Haven't heard your voice in a while. With the Page of Cups first, that emotional spontaneity should be very close to the surface, and your willingness and eagerness to accept, believe, and work in worlds that adults, in quotes, call imaginary, you should even be rebellious to a certain extent, and you will insist on those things being real, insist on working in places like that, insist on being a child to other people.
Yeah, and I think that fits me really well when I deal with things, and that is what I show externally and how other people see me. And
right.
Yeah, and I like that. I like it's sort of like the trickster kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. So there is a quality on the page that is playful.
Mm-hmm.
And when it's first, the page is rebellious, playful, spontaneous, and willing to take chances just because.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I've lived my life that way pretty much.
Yeah. So that's what you would expect when you see the Page of Cups first.
Yeah.
Now, there are other pages. There are three other pages and three other suits, and each one of them has its own qualities. So this is just...
So can we say that the page is able to, if it's last, is able to bring things into manifestation easier just because it's easier for them to...
Well, that's an interesting question. Because what is last is most manifest, the chances are that whatever is in last is very real for you, which means that you literally live there, you stand there, you work there, and it is real for you. So from a certain point of view, at least psychically, you make those things, you make whatever is last manifest. Absolutely. But only you would know it. Or possibly, whatever is in last, we're talking about the page now, since these qualities of the imagination, these qualities of reverie and fantasy and living beings and living worlds that don't exist for other people would be real for you, the chances are that in some way or another, they will show up in your life in ways that other people would find very strange if they noticed them at all. So a page of cups in last would actually produce a person who is slightly out of step with other people's realities. Let's say, for example, and Ruth Ann is pointing out that we're running late, but since the tape still seems to be going, I think, yes,
only
it is,
for
right?
A minute or two, though.
For a minute or two. We'll just keep it going until the tape runs out. But anyway, since the Page of Cups lives that way and has those qualities, the chances are that whatever is going on in your life will really and truly reflect those things. You might find magical things happening to you. You might find that when you want something, you can ask for it in a magical way and it'll show up because for you it's real. You might depend much more on a magical or an imaginary or a mythical way of doing things and being than many other people. You would just expect things to show up that way, and they probably would. So I guess the answer to that, I never really thought of it, that whatever is in last place is what you tend to manifest most easily, but that actually probably is true. So if money were going to come to you, now money is a whole other issue, but I don't know what your Court of Pentacles is like, because Pentacles is usually associated with money, but whatever you wanted, whatever you needed, whatever you, well, especially emotionally, you would probably find what? What would you want emotionally? What I wonder what the Page of Cups wants emotionally that they would manifest if it was in last. What would a Page of Cups want?
Well,
the interesting thing is that want usually involves need. I mean, you want something because you don't have it as a rule.
Well, if you're thinking in terms of what children would want,
mm-hmm.
if they would want to know that they're loved, that they're safe, that they have friends,
and that they can play.
Yeah.
That they're free to play, and those things.
Instant gratification.
Yeah, well,
instant gratification.
Yeah, exactly, right.
Definitely.
But anyway, emotionally, those things should be true for you. You should be fairly emotionally free.
Neo, you like instant gratification?
Yeah. Well, not too many of us don't. You know? But anyway, I would have to think about that a little bit. Do you have any answers to that?
I'm thinking. I'm pondering as you speak. I mean, it's like. This is like a whole new way to get to know myself.
That's right.
And this array came in a time of my life. It's like perfect timing.
Mm-hmm. How so?
Well, because I'm going through a transition, and a lot of people seem to think that, you know, the reason why I'm going through this transition is because, you know, I should live in a more real world, that I'm always
mm-hmm.
living in a world of fantasy. But for me, it works. Wonders, because I do get those things, you know, magically,
uh-huh.
you know, I need this, and, you know, a friend happens to pop up and give it to me, or
mm-hmm.
whatever, you know, I get those so-called coincidences a lot
uh-huh.
happening, because I really do believe, I mean,
mm-hmm.
you know, I say, well, fairies are my best friends, people, you know,
mm-hmm.
I stop saying that, because My friends literally have, you know.
That's very funny. But the interesting thing is that you have the king in first position, and the king is the most authoritative of the forms. The king knows what's going on. The king has been there and done that. The king should be a great advisor. The king should be very much trusted, because whatever you put forth as first is what people will mostly see of you. And it's a very authoritative form. So you should be, by all rights, you should be a great advisor, and people should trust you emotionally.
Well, I'm a counselor by profession.
Oh, well, okay.
To be for vital design.
There you go.
So,
yeah, the King of Cups makes a fabulous counselor. So that works perfectly well. And yet the King and the Page are on opposite ends of the spectrum,
mm-hmm.
because the King is the most authoritative and the Page is the least. The King is the teacher, the Page is the student. The King is old, complete, and successful. The Page is brand new, beginning, and hasn't done anything yet. The Page is all potential. The King is all completion. So, on the surface, where people can see you, what you're strong at is knowing what's going on and being able to give fabulous advice, being able to guide, help, and support. But for what is real, true, and easy for you is being playful and imaginative and free and spontaneous and all those magical things that we were talking about, which is just exactly what the king would not permit normally. The king is a fuss budget. The king lives by rules. And the page doesn't.
That's great, because I'm always potential waiting to happen.
That's right. But the thing is, because the page is last, it will always be so.